We're in Psalm 57 this morning, as Tim has already read from the Psalm. Thank you, veterans. Good to see those uniforms today, too. Looking sharp there. Two Navy chiefs in uniform. That's something. Appreciate your service. Here we are in this Thanksgiving season, and yet we have troubles. For instance, I was working on this sermon some this week in a hospital room with my mother, and she's okay, but nobody wants to be there. We all have pain and grief and fears that try to rob our hope. Some of them are small, short-lived, and others are life-changing. In this small congregation this morning, there are people struggling with employment. We have people assaulted by disease. You may have been wrestling with fear as we went through the election season, or at least the anxiety of hearing about it. Maybe the aging process is causing you anxiety. We have dear friends here this morning who are wading through grief. So how do we put our faith to work to address the pain and the fear? How can we turn pain and fear into praise? We're going to look at Psalm 57 and receive some instruction from King David himself. And I want to tell you, I struggle to enjoy the subtleties of poetry. I have to work at it. I had to go read some people who know more to understand how this poem goes. But after a little bit, I could see the flow. I could see the genius in it, and it's beautiful. It begins with a plea for help, but it flows quickly toward solution. It proclaims God as source of refuge and protection and everlasting, steadfast love. The psalm flows from assault and fear to a punctuation in the middle and the end of imperative pleas for God to be over the universe, over all. It oscillates a little bit from our problems to our praise. Maybe it mimics the ups and downs of our faith life. Excuse me. What can we learn from David this morning? Now, a little bit about Psalms in general. Of course, it is truth expressed in poetic form, and many of them were set to music, as this one was. It tells us in the introductory remarks that it was set to music. And it tells, and if you know the tune "Do Not Destroy," then you can just sing right along. Of course, we don't know what that was. We don't have a hymn in the hymnal by that name, I don't believe. "Do Not Destroy," but David and his lot knew what it meant. And it seems that this psalm reflects David's experience of when he was hiding out in a cave. And there are at least two occasions that we know of in which he was hiding in caves. 1 Samuel chapter 22 is one, and chapter 24 is another. And you know that King Saul, the first king of Israel, whom David served very faithfully, was literally pursuing David and trying to kill him. And that's kind of the things that were going on in David's life And at least maybe he was reflecting on it later when he wrote this poem. We have to take care interpreting and applying Psalms. They state principles more than they do commands or promises. They proclaim truth for sure, no doubt about it. It is true, but it's in artistic form. It is different than interpreting and applying law or some of the New Testament letters. And Psalm 57 indeed claims true principles. It reflects accurately God's character. And it portrays frail humans as well. I think we can see in this psalm how the practice of our faith builds up our soul. Right practice such as praise and proclamation train our hearts and minds to trust God and to replace pain with praise. Now, putting our faith into practice helps us move from that pain and grief and fear. And so let's just read the psalm together. Psalm 57. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Amen. Now, it just starts off with a plea for help, an outright plea for God's intervention. But notice that this plea is not hopeless. This prayer, this outcry for help is distinguished by a confident trust in God. The third line says, I will take refuge, or I take refuge in you, and then I will take refuge in you. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. That refuge is active. It has occurred, it is occurring, and it will continue to occur. God's refuge is complete, and it continues. God's reliable. He's dependable. Does proclaiming God's refuge make it true? No. It's true whether we proclaim it or not. It's true whether we believe it or not. But proclaiming it trains our soul. It builds our faith. Notice the petition for God to act in verse 2 and immediately the assurance that he answers. The psalmist pleads for God's help in his personal circumstances. Lord, I'm crying out to you for help. I need your protection. I need for you to vindicate me above those who pursue me. And verse 3 boldly states God's response. He sends his love and his faithfulness. Verse 4 uses the language about lions and beasts, but the writer was really talking about people. He said their spears are like the lions of teeth. They're after me. Their words are like swords. They're coming after me. The threat was imminent. It was real, and it was reoccurring. Verse 6 continues to address personal attacks. He said they've spread a net to catch me. They dug a pit to capture me, but they have fallen into their own traps. It may be, that may very well be a reflection on the story that we find in 1 Samuel 24, where David was hiding in a cave. he and some of his men, his fighting men, they were hiding inside a cave, and Saul and all of his lot came up close to the cave. And they didn't know David and his men were inside the cave. And Saul went into the cave, it says, to relieve himself. And David snuck up behind him. But instead of cutting his throat, he cut a little bit off the hem of his robe. And then when Saul went on out at a safe distance, David went out to the mouth of the cave and said, "O king, why are you pursuing me? Demonstrating I could have taken your life." You might want to read that in 1 Samuel 24. It's a good one. Right in the center of this psalm, verse 5, and at the end of the psalm, verse 11, there are petitions for God to be exalted above the heavens, over all the earth. Globally, Lord, may your name be praised. You see, God's glory is way bigger than our circumstances. The whole world needs to know his power and his mercy. The heavenly beings need to see his glory displayed. It paints a picture far beyond our troubles. Putting these phrases in the middle and the end of the psalm was not accidental. Those statements punctuate our trouble, as if to say, no matter what's going on with me, God is over all the earth. He is over the heavens. It turns our minds to the grand glory of God. Be exalted above the heavens. Be exalted over all the earth. Both Psalm 36 and 108 take some of these same words. I don't know which was written first, but the wording is borrowed in all of those places. Those of you who listened to the radio back in the 90s and the early 2000s, I guess, remember a group named Third Day. And they sang a song entitled, "Your Love, O Lord." Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies. Your righteousness is like a mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean's tides. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Are you hearing, some of you hearing the tune? What's his name? Mac Powell. I can see him singing it. It's a good one. We've already seen here that throughout the psalm are sprinkled declarations of faith, especially in verses 3 and 6 and 7. God sends forth from heaven and saves me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. He says, "My heart is steadfast." And he repeated it. "My heart is steadfast." Declaring our faith strengthens it. It trains our minds and our hearts. This is not just a hollow exercise. All of this is based on the true character of God. This is not just a psychological tool to get yourself out of a pit of fear. God is protecting me. God will protect me. I am steadfast. But it is not just a psychological tool. It may be partly that. It may be useful as that. But there's more. Do you understand what distinguishes this from pop psychology? Do you see it? It's the object of our faith. It's because we believe that there is a God and he is able to redeem our situation. He is able to provide and to protect. And that makes all the difference. It's not just an exercise. It's claiming what we know to be true. God does provide. He does protect us. He does save us. He redeems our circumstances and our troubles. He redeems our fear and pain. God even redeems our grief. Now, we are exposed to all kinds of troubles in this life, but God protects us from being destroyed by them. We who are in Christ and Christ is in us will have no threat prevail over us. None. But you say, my loved one died. Yes. This body will. All of our bodies will. But even if our bodies die, we celebrate victory in the presence of our King. Even if we are troubled for a time, the refuge of our Lord is real and sure. God redeems all he allows. I borrow that from a fellow named Jim Dennison, and I write it on places where I can see it. God redeems all he allows. Is your faith steadfast? Is it solid as a rock? Hold on. Exercise your faith by worshiping God. That's what this psalm shows us. It's a psalm of praise and worship in the midst of trouble. Proclaim his great love and mercy. Rehearse his victories and his protection. Remind yourself of his everlasting, steadfast faithfulness. See how this psalm, which began with pleas for help, turns into all-out praise of the Almighty. The last third of the psalm is just praise. Verses 7 and 8. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Church, sing his praises. Let your faith lead you into song. Make music to remind your soul who you trust, to wake you up in your faith. Wake you up to the truth. Of course, in our day, whether we can sing or not, we can punch a button and the radio will come on. You don't even have to punch a button. You can say, Alexa, play me a praise song. Or listen to your phone. And by the way, choose some good ones. If all you're playing is heartbreak music, it just drives you deeper into the heartbreak. Listen to words like this psalm that lift the Lord and lift us up in the Lord. Look at verses 9 through 11 as we finish up here. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. You see, the psalmist chose to praise God. He chose to give thanks when the beasts were chasing him down. Trust leads us to thanksgiving. And thanksgiving reinforces our trust. And I love that the phrases of verse 10. Great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. My favorite Hebrew word, maybe the only one I remember, hesed. Your everlasting, steadfast, faithful love is greater than the heavens, far beyond the skies. Worship him, church, and let your pain turn to praise. And even as I say these things, I know that in some situations that is just incredibly hard. From here, I look around and see the troubles and the pain. I want you to know it's true. What these psalms say are true. God sends out his love, his everlasting faithful love. He sends out his mercy. He sends out his protection. Be exalted, God, in every people and every language. Be exalted above the heavens, over all the earth. Church, exercise your faith so that your faith leads you to praise the Lord in any and every circumstance. Would you like to sing again? Let's lift our voices to the Lord. Music team, come on. I'm also aware of people in our midst who might need prayer. Would you just take the liberty to pray for each other now? Just look around and just pray for one another a little bit while we tune up to sing.